Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on this feast day of St. Helena. She was an empress and mother of Constantine the Great, a native of Bithynia, who married the Roman general Constantius I at about 270. Constantine was born soon after, and in 293, Constantius was made Caesar. Constantine became emperor in 312 after the fateful victory at Milvian Bridge, and Helena was named Augusta, or Empress. She converted to Christianity and performed many acts of charity, including building churches in Rome and in the Holy Land. We've got a full show for you today on the trumpet. We're going to talk to longtime St. Gabriel volunteer Eddie Lersman about his discernment process. St. Joan of Arc is going strong with That Man Is You, and Carrie spoke with Paul Wong about the program. Matt talks to Jim Keeby in our conversation segment. But first up, this summer, Columbus has been blessed to have several students from Notre Dame University interning at several area organizations performing service throughout the community. Today, Carrie spoke with Neil Joseph, who is interning at JOIN. Neil talks about his experience serving with this organization over the summer. He's a graduate from St. Charles Prep and a parishioner at St. Bridget.
Joining us today on the trumpet is Neil Joseph. Welcome to the trumpet, Neil. You're here visiting from Notre Dame University, and you are spending the summer here in an internship, a service internship with the organization JOIN. Talk to us about what that experience has been like and what you're taking away from it.
So the internship that I do is through the Summer Service Learning Program at Notre Dame. So they have about 100 different programs around the country where students at Notre Dame go and volunteer for an 8-week commitment at different service organizations, after-school organizations, whatever it may be. And they immerse themselves in this organization and do the work that the people of these organizations do. And so I'm at JOIN, which is the Joint Organization for Inner-City Needs, which, for those who don't know, helps low-income families with emergency needs. So different things, utility help, bus passes to get a new job, things like that. And I was there. I started the Monday I got back from school, and I've been there for over 2 months now. And the experience at JOIN has been unlike anything else I've ever done. I had done a lot of service throughout high school and in college, but this was the first service experience that I had been immersed truly in a service to others, but I was able to see true results. I was able to help people hear their stories, help them get back on their feet, help them do different things, get a job. And it was eye-opening, to say the least, and it was something different than I had ever done.
Now, what are you studying in your studies now?
I'm studying political science and economics, and I'm minoring in Middle Eastern studies. So
as you're going through this experience at JOIN, are you learning anything that will help you as far as your own career path?
So I've always wanted to help people, and at JOIN, I've learned so many different things. One of the things that I've learned is how out of control so many of these situations were to so many people. And the one thing that struck me the most is that there were so many people who were just born into the situation that they were presented with. And I was born into a situation where I'm able to go to what I consider, in my unbiased opinion, the greatest university in the country. And I can't see myself now, after being at JOIN, doing anything else but helping people who were born into a different situation. And people ask me, why do I want to go into politics? Which I've always been interested in politics. And I say, to help people, and they just laugh because they say, well, who helps people in politics? And maybe I don't go into politics. Maybe I do something different. But I know that helping people who've been born into those situations, I've been given a situation where I have to do that. And that's something that I'm committed to, and something that being at JOIN has really, really inspired me to do. And I hope and I pray that I'll be able to keep that in mind, that I didn't deserve what I was born into, that, and I have a responsibility, and I'm called by God and by others around me to help people to better their own lives.
And you can also see in certain experiences how giving people the tools really will enable them and encourage them to go out and kind of make a difference in their own life.
Exactly.
Have you had any one particular experience stick out that has really had an impact on you, where you felt like that fruits of what JOIN is doing has made an impact on a particular person?
The most mind-boggling experience I would say that I had was the first week I was there. I was just kind of eased into things because, you know, there's a lot of things you have to learn, how to deal with people, how to give them different things, how to judge what they need. The first week I was able to meet a kid who was actually younger than me. I'm 19. He was 18. And he had been born into a situation where he couldn't find any real family structure. So he joined a gang, I think when he was 13 or 14, he said. And he joined a gang and he was there for 2-3 years. And all of a sudden he came to us because he had just had 2 twin girls that were born. And he said, I couldn't bring myself to keep myself in the gang. And those 2 little girls, I looked at them and they were my life. And everything that I wanted to do was for them. And so he came to me that first week and I was, you know, stuck with this. And it was an incredible situation where you can obviously see Christ working through other people. And I saw that and I helped him. I tried to help as much as I could. And I didn't really know how much that I did until actually a couple weeks back. This was probably a month and a half, 2 months later. He came back and told me just how much I had helped. He had gone back and tried to get his GED so that he could get a better job. He was working a job, supporting his family, his girlfriend who had his 2 little girls. And, you know, I was touched and I didn't know what to say because I didn't realize how big of a difference I could make, how one big of a difference one person could make until that moment. And it inspired me just because of the situation he was born in. Like I said before, he managed to escape it and I was able to actually help him do that.
That's beautiful because you actually now are taking these experiences back with you and really guide your career and mm-hmm. your vocation and your calling to help and serve other people's with what you've seen and how God can work through people's life just by simple ways of helping them to get jobs or get the skills that they would need to go out and seek those different opportunities.
Yeah. And the other thing that's amazed me is it's helped me become a lot more thankful for what I've had, because I see so many people who come, the enthusiasm for life that they have in spite of their situations. And so many people, I'll ask them what they need. And I'll say, do you need like a toothbrush? They'll say, no, I have one. And they're in a homeless shelter, but they say, oh, I'll just leave it for someone else who actually needs it. And, you know, I know as a teenager, I want this, I want that. And it's made me really cherish every moment I have, everything that I have. And it's been amazing for me.
Well, thank you, Neil, for joining us on The Trumpet here today. And also thank you for all the service that you're doing this summer with Join.
Thank you.
You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. It's 8 minutes past the hour. In today's conversation segment, Matt talks with Jim Keeby about growing up in Euclid, Ohio, and his work in support of pro-life apostolates.
Jim, it's so good to have you down here at the radio station. Thanks for joining us today.
Sure, Matt. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited for our listeners to get to know a little bit about your journey and how the Lord has touched you and called you in this life. Take our listeners back a little bit and start with where you grew up and just a little bit about your family. Let us get a chance to know you.
Okay. I grew up in Euclid, Ohio, which is an east side suburb of Cleveland. And that's important for listeners to know Cleveland. Cleveland's very ethnic. You have your Polish neighborhood. I'm Slovenian, 100% Slovenian, which is a little bit rare for my generation, and grew up St. William's Parish. And if Bishop Griffin happens to hear this, he was my pastor, so I knew him when he was Father Griffin.
Wow.
I tease about that, but he was our pastor before he became bishop. But just remember growing up, one of the neat memories, Matt, was serving Mass at 7 a.m. There'd be a group of women with their babushkas, praying the rosary. They were the war hero, you know, the spiritual war heroes, you know. They were just praying, and I believe that. And my grandmother, who was one of 14, played the organ. So it was, you know, you prayed in church. You did not smile. You did not, you know, joke around. So it was learning that, but in all kidding aside, there was a love for the rosary and a sense of the spiritual traditions, which really helped. And then so I went to St. Joseph High School in Cleveland and ran by the Marianist, which was a neat, great influence of men in my life who loved the Lord. And there was a special priest, Father Ken Summer, who he was doing youth group type things way back in a day where we were, we would meet on Sunday nights praying and sharing and getting deep into the Lord. None of this week being shallow with your faith, not with, with Father Ken. And that was just really neat and inspired me. I, at one point, was looking very seriously at becoming a Marianist. So I went to, was in the novitiate for a little bit and aspirancy program, but was, realized that that wasn't my calling, and met my wife while, after I had made a trip to Bogota, Colombia. I know I'm throwing a lot of things at you, but these are things that really influenced my life. The summer I spent in Bogota, Colombia, with the, being with the poorest of the poor, very strong. So social justice is really a big part of my wife. She went to El Salvador for a trip, and so we shared that experience. Mm. And that's been a real blessing in the early part of our married lives. That influenced us because we were foolish. We didn't register when we got married. I think, what the heck were we thinking? Oh, no, don't buy us anything. We're good, you know. So we were thinking that we might get remarried and register. But, that, you know, just the funny things of how those things influence our lives.
You know, as I'm listening to you, Jim, I'm just so struck how important childhood formation is for us as Catholic Christians. And for our listeners out there, just to encourage all of you parents that are wondering if your investment in Catholic education and the time you spend trying to share the faith with your children, if that's working. It sometimes, I'm sure, it seems like they're not listening, they're not growing in the faith, but persevere and continue. As I listen to Jim's story and as I see the beautiful fruit in his life now, I realize that how much of perhaps what the Lord is doing in your life now comes from that formation. Well, let's move on. These brief conversations are always so wonderful, but time always presses in on us, and I want to make sure that our listeners get to hear a little bit about how the Lord is working in your and Debbie's life now. You have a daughter, Sarah. Tell us a little bit about her, and then we'll move into some of the ministries that the Lord has called you to.
Our daughter just graduated from Ohio Dominican University, go Panthers, rah, and in criminal justice. She is now working at the Alvis House. And just to hit your point about how parents, you don't know what they're listening, my daughter, I never knew what she was listening to, what she heard. And when I asked her why she wanted to go into criminal justice, she said teachers talked about how people have influences in their lives that take them either down one path or another. She was really specifically talking about, you know, why people do crime and different things. And she said, if I could get to those people when they're in that decision-making process and I could help steer them, I thought, this is my daughter? Where did she come from? You know, the sense that she's listening, and so, yes, parents, our children do listen, praise be to Jesus. They just don't tell us they're listening until later. But I'm
Amen.
Currently happily married and involved with a ministry called the Stewardship Foundation. And what we do is specifically pro-life. Our focus is pro-life and pro-family. So we work with individuals, and we try and do a lot of support for behind-the-scenes support for groups like Heartbeat International or St. Paul's Outreach, those groups that are on the front lines building the kingdom. If we could help them build up donor bases or help build up different types of support, we feel that that's what our ministry is called to do.
How wonderful. I know this is an important ministry in our diocese, where when people have charitable giving they want to do and need some assistance with that, that's a ministry that you all obviously provide. Help us also with some of the other direct pro-life ministries that you're a part of. I know that you, for instance, every year are involved in going to a conference about life that's some other part of the country, usually, as I think back about your travel each year.
Well, I've done that through Heartbeat International. We've also been blessed to work a little bit with Bethesda Healing Ministry to give some donation to them. And then Beth over at Ohio Right to Life is doing some tremendous work, so we're working with her to put some programs together to encourage individuals to donate to and invest in these pro-life causes, because we feel, and you know, as a financial advisor, we like to work with people like yourselves because you guys who are involved with the Spirit and working with people who have means, we need to pray for you guys that you guys are doing that ministry. So if we could bring that all together, that's what we're trying to do.
It's wonderful. Jim, as I think about my relationship with you, as we're both in St. Catherine's Parish, brothers in Christ, from our listeners, I have the privilege on many Friday mornings to stand with Jim and some other men at a Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood clinic.
Yes.
And to talk a little and to pray the rosary and to really intercede and ask for the Lord's intercession and grace and blessings to end abortion and to protect unborn children. And I just want you to know how much your witness in our parish has come to mean to so many of us men. Thank you for your faithful witness to life. Thank you for the way you have such joy in your married life as a husband and a father, and for all the work that you're doing in our diocese, in our parish, and for life. We are so grateful. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. It's great to be here and to walk that walk with you and other small heroes.
God bless you, Jim.
Amen.
Take care.
Parish festivals this weekend include St. Joan of Arc on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, St. Cecilian on Friday and Saturday, and Church of the Blessed Sacrament on Saturday. Eddie Lersman is a longtime volunteer at St. Gabriel Radio and a recent OSU graduate. He was also an avid member of SPO. Upon graduation, Eddie was accepted as a new seminarian at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Cincinnati for the Diocese of Toledo. Eddie recently visited the station to share his good news, and Carrie sat down with him to talk about discernment.
I'm talking today with Eddie Lersman, who is a recent OSU graduate and was one of our volunteer from SPO. Eddie has come in over the past couple years and volunteered during the Spirit Drives and really given us of his time and treasures here. So welcome to the Trumpet, Eddie.
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate it.
It was so great to see you today because you have some pretty exciting news to share with us, and we want to talk about this.
So I've recently been accepted by the Diocese of Toledo to be a seminarian. So starting here in August, I'll be heading to Mount St. Mary's of the West in Cincinnati to go to seminary to start pre-theology.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, when we meet so many of the SPO groups, students, we think, you know, well, this is a really cool person and this is really her, but you really have some attributes that are very holy. So I want you to know that we see that in you. So talk to us about this discernment process. When did that call to conversion happen?
Well, it initially happened, ironically, here in Columbus. My second cousin, Father Ryan Schmidt, was ordained to the priesthood, and I was present at that ordination, and God really used that to really hit me, not only as a conversion experience, but also that was the first time I thought, is God calling me to be a priest? And so that thought has been there ever since. And it was I was called to be a student at OSU, did my time there. It wasn't time for me, but that was always on my mind, always trying to grow in holiness, always trying to get closer to our Lord and really figure out where he was calling me. And St. Paul's Outreach was wonderful in that. And so now that I graduated from OSU, and that call was still there, and I decided to apply, and sure enough, I was accepted. And we'll see where the good Lord takes me from here. But
so what is your vision now that you've taken that first step? Where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself studying in any one direction?
Well, then again, it depends on where the good Lord takes me. I could see, you know, I am on the track for diocesan priesthood, but, you know, the good Lord could, you know, have some other plan in mind. I have no idea where that is, where he wants me. But I do know that he's calling me to give my life completely to him. Mm-hmm. I think we're all called to that. And the trick is always finding where exactly that is. Where is he exactly calling us? Because each of us has such a unique set of gifts and talents and treasures, as you said. And just finding where that is with Lord. But I know he's calling me to give my whole life to him. And if that's with priesthood, then I will follow.
Do you think that there was any one or two particular experiences that you had in college, during your college experience, that really moved you in that direction as well?
Most certainly. Being involved with St. Paul's Outreach, and seeing the great and holy priests, like Father Antonio there at Holy Name, living across the street with him, and just so many different vocations, people who have already said yes. that really played into that, and living with other men and women who are currently also trying to figure out where the Lord is calling them to. That really helped.
We're excited to see you walk this journey, Eddie, and we wish for you the best, and we'll be praying for you during your formation, and just, you know, keep in touch with us and let us know how it's going.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. It's 20 minutes past the hour. That Man Is You is an interactive multimedia men's program focused on the development of authentic male leadership. Over the course of three successive years, That Man Is You transforms men's spiritual lives, their relationship to God, their spouse, and to their children. The program content harmonizes current social and media science with the teachings of the church and the wisdom of the saints to develop the vision of a man fully alive. It's particularly indebted to the teachings of the Second Vatican Council and Pope John Paul II. St. Joan of Arc Parish in Powell launched this program in 2012, and Paul Wong, the development director for St. Joan of Arc, That Man Is You, shares with correspondent Carrie Migalski how having a men's faith-sharing group like this has helped the lives of the men who participate. St. Joan of Arc will be launching the program in September.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is Paul Wong. He is a parishioner at St. Joan of Arc Church in Powell. And St. Joan of Arc Church is starting the program, That Man Is You. And Paul is going to talk to us a little bit about what the program, That Man Is You, is about. Welcome to The Trumpet, Paul.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm glad to be here. That Man Is You is a dynamic, fast-growing lay apostolate developed by Paradisus Dei that addresses the fundamental need for and characteristics of authentic male leadership. Developed in 2004, originally consisting of only 1 year with 26 sessions of content, That Man Is You now encompasses 5 years of content and has led to the development of Choice Wine, a new parallel course geared towards couples.
So what can a man experience as they are participating in this program? What are some of the aspects of the program?
I'm glad you asked about that. Part of the success of the program is that it has a dual approach that employs content and discussion. It combines modern science with authentically Catholic teaching. The content encourages men to better understand themselves, their wives, their marriages, and the unique leadership role they have in both their family and then society as a whole.
And have you personally participated in this program?
Yes, this is my third year here at St. Joan of Arc, and in fact, I am a co-captain along with Dan Trick, and we started this course under the guidance of, and pretty much the prodding of Steve Helmrich, another one of our parishioners, and we've been going for 3 years now, and each year the content changes. There are 26 sessions, 13 in the fall and 13 in the spring, and usually there's a fall theme and then a corresponding theme in the spring that makes up an entire year's theme.
And have you seen some of the fruits in your own life by being a participant with this program?
I certainly have. I hope my wife and my children have as well. So one of the things in year one that we did that year was the theme was becoming a man after God's own heart. And so it was, we learned about the covenant that we have from God to honor our wedding vows, the correct use of resources for the benefit of others, giving time to God, the ascent of the mind to God, the practice of the presence of God, finding the hidden face of God, and the covenant of the mercy of God.
That sounds beautiful. And if you could pick out one aspect of the program to really engage other men out there to try to be a part of it, what would that be?
So we usually start out by gathering at about 6:45 a.m. for a little bit of fellowship, getting some a continental breakfast, and then being in our places to start promptly at 7 a.m. with a presentation. The presentation is usually a DVD that's been very well prepared. Usually is about a half hour in length. And then we break into small groups after that and discuss the topic that we viewed in the presentation. By 8 o'clock sharp, our program ends, and some of the men go off to return to their homes, their families, or other responsibilities, But quite a few of the men actually stay around and continue talking for an hour, 2 hours. I would say that what it has most done for me has been to restore a sense of male leadership in the family, as well as the respect that I need to have for my wife.
That sounds wonderful. So really, it's just an hour of your time out of the day, and you get so much out of it to start your day off.
Correct. Actually, the week, and to restart your marriage.
Will this program at St. Joan of Arc be open to other parishes in the diocese?
Of course. There are many parishes where this program is currently underway. So, for example, we're at St. Joan of Arc, St. Patrick, Church of the Resurrection, Church of the Blessed Sacrament, St. Mary's in Marion, St. Timothy's, St. Brendan, Church of the Immaculate Conception, St. John Newman, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Matthew, St. Edward the Confessor, and Our Lady of Peace. And anybody can go to any of those. We actually had the honor last year of hosting several men from other parishes who brought some other men along with them from their own parish, and they were with us for a year. They walked with us for a year. And then they went out and they started their own program.
And when will this program start at St. Joan of Arc?
This fall we will be resuming the fall semester, I believe it's the 13th of September. And if anyone is interested, they can go to the website, which is Paradisus Dei, and then they can go to that website and they can look up a parish that's close to them by putting in a zip code.
Okay, thank you so much, Paul, for all of this information. It sounds like a wonderful program that St. Joan of Arc has here, and it's offering to the diocese and the parishioners as well.
Thank you very much for having me.
For more information, you can search online for That Man Is You. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with another great episode. If you've got a story idea or something crazy good going on in your parish you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.